Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Clean Science and Technology Limited. We have with us on the call Mr. Siddharth Sikchi, Executive Director, Clean Science and Technology, Mr. Sanjay Parnerkar, CFO, and Mr. Pratik Bora, Vice President. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Sikchi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. I am happy to connect with you, all of you, again today to discuss the performance of our company for Q2 FY 2024. Let me start with giving you a little perspective on the business environment. The market continues to remain a buyer's market rather than seller's market during this quarter. The overhang of destocking continued during the Q2. The overproduction in China has led to aggressive pricing of the products, thereby putting downward pressure on realization during this particular quarter. The demand in Europe and to some extent in the United States was unusually low. So to summarize, in Q2, we did not see a strong recovery in our demands. On financial highlights, quarter-on-quarter comparison, on QOQ basis, the 4% decline in revenue was led by drop in realization across the three products. In fact, improved sales volumes limited the decline in revenue. Contribution of non-flagship products to revenue increased to 25% during this quarter. However, EBITDA margins continued to be strong at 42.4%. This leads to two important takeaways. One, product diversification and geography diversification has gradually started to reflect. And second, despite that, EBITDA margins continue to remain healthy. EBITDA margins are higher on QOQ basis by about 1%, led by lower consumption prices. PAT margins are lower on QOQ basis due to lower non-operating income. Year-on-year comparison, revenues for Q2 FY24 declined by 27%. To rupees 178 crore against rupees 245 crores during Q2 FY23. Volume degrowth and drop in realization both contributed to 27% decline in revenue. EBITDA during Q2 FY24 decreased to rupees 75 crore against rupees 97 crore during Q2 FY23. Led by lower input prices and better product mix, company reported higher EBITDA margin of 42.4% compared to 39.8% during Q2 FY23. We are pleased to report that PAT margins are higher at 29.1% during Q2 FY24 as against 27.9% during Q2 FY23. On standalone basis, PAT is rupees 52 crore against rupees 68 crore during Q2 FY23. Although the absolute PAT is lower, the PAT margin is higher, led by better gross margin and limited impact of negative operating leverage. On sales profile, revenue contribution from performance chemical, pharma and agro intermediates, and FMCG chemicals were 67%, 19%, and 14% respectively. Contribution from pharma segment was impacted due to lower sales of guaiacol led by ongoing issues in certain international markets with regards to cough syrups. HALS 770 and 701 continue to demonstrate progressive improvement with revenue contribution coming in from export market as well during this quarter. We are pleased to report that during this quarter, the sales contribution from non-flagship products increased to 25%. Despite that, EBITDA margins were 42%. As we have been mentioning, that every product launched will go through following life cycle, stabilizing the production, securing approvals with clients, increasing the utilization levels, continually working towards improving yields and production efficiencies in backdrop, and invariably the outcome of our process is product stewardship, which leads to better return on capital employed. A little on CAPEX update. We have incurred CAPEX of 165 crore during this quarter, of which 155 crore were invested in our new subsidiary CFCL. Total investment into CFCL till date is approximately 275 crores. The progress with construction activity at the subsidiary Clean Phenochem CFCL is as planned. We expect the water trials to commence during this quarter, while commercial production to kickstart during quarter four. We are happy to report that we have finally delivered on our commitment of approximately rupees 300 crore capex during towards CFCL to commission by Q4 FY24, with entire capex to be funded through internal accruals. We are also in process of erecting a state-of-the-art pilot facility, which is expected to commission over the next 4 weeks. This pilot facility will considerably strengthen the transition process from lab to pilot to commercial scale production. Our R&D efforts are fructified by our strong in-house engineering and project teams, which help us create global scale and automated state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities at a very competitive price and in time effective way. This boosts our return on asset and reduces our time to market considerably. A little bit on ESG. We continue to work towards ESG actively through delivering products with lower carbon footprint, continually evaluating use of alternative raw materials, fuels, and increasing our share in green power. We are pleased to announce that we have successfully cleared responsible care audit. We are now responsible care certified company. We will soon be publishing our maiden sustainability report and would be happy to have your review comments. We have now set a next 5-year ESG target for ourselves. Details of same will be elaborated in BRSR report. Outlook. Regarding new product development, we recently performed Bhumi Pujan at CFCL for construction of a new chemical plant for manufacturing pharma/agro intermediates. We will be sharing the details in due course, and we continue to execute our growth plans as committed. Thank you so much.
Should we open up for questions?
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Arshad Joshi from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Siddharth, and thanks for the opportunity and season's greetings to you all. Sir, I have a few questions. Firstly, if you can explain the sequential increase you have seen in the power cost this quarter.
Right. Yeah, hi. So during this quarter, the production at our flagship product increased by over 25%. However, that increase in production did not totally reflect in the sales because of lower realization. And that is the reason the power cost has increased considerably during this quarter. We expect it to normalize by over 100 bps in due course.
Sure, sir. Thanks. And secondly, sir, wanted to check on a few accounts you were working on. Number one, the status of our backward integration initiatives in HALS through sebacic acid. Any comments on that front, sir?
So far, I mean, we worked on R&D to establish a process to develop our own in-house sebacic acid using castor oil. However, the economies of scale do not permit us for the time being to invest into production of sebacic acid because the price of these products are currently quite subdued coming from the current manufacturers based out of India and China as well.
Got it, sir. And sir, secondly, clarification on the challenges that we are seeing in Guaiacol. In the previous con call, we are kind of trying to qualify our products with some Chinese and Taiwanese customers to sort of divert our sales from China. Has that gained any traction in our current business environment?
So we are one of the largest suppliers of Guaiacol to the China market, I mean, from India, of course. So we are approved in the Chinese market. Taiwan's customer is a little sticky customer with the competitor, and it might take a little longer to get our approvals. However, this year we would have shipped only about less than 10% of their annual demand. But we expect in 24 calendar year that should increase a little bit, but not to the extent which I would have wanted. So we would look at some other avenues to sell Guaiacol, particularly in the vanillin market in China.
Got it, sir. So just one last, if I can squeeze in. So the recent pharma/agro intermediate plan that you're working on, is this the same one that we had spoken of earlier with respect to a 200 crore capex that we had earmarked for some products? If you can elaborate.
Yes, so this is a part of that capex. So this is the first product out of the HALS, which we had discussed of about 200 crore capex. So this is the first molecule out of that.
Understood, sir. Great, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ashwik Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. This is Sanjesh here. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely, Sanjesh.
Yeah. Hi. Sir, a couple of questions. First, on the agro-pharma intermediate that we have started, can you elaborate that in this 200 crores of capex, I believe it will be a multi-purpose plant. What kind of product are we working? Will it be sold in the domestic market or it is to cater to the exports market? Any number of product are we working? More color around that will be really helpful. And what is the asset turn? I think we have said 2x asset turn earlier. Do we stick to that?
So let me answer this. So this block would be 30 crore of capex. This is a single product dedicated line, and we expect a revenue of about 100 crores out of it.
Okay.
And domestic market.
Okay. And it will be agro or pharma?
Pharma.
Segmented. Okay.
I mean, the segment in our is like performance, agro/pharma and FMCG. So this falls under the intermediates of pharma and agro.
But are we supplying, what is the end application, or it has a multiple application?
It has multiple applications, but pharma.
For the pharma. Got it. And the 200 crores of block that we have started now to work on, do we have a product portfolio over there?
So out of 230 crores in this, 70 crores is remaining. So we have some products in pipeline. So you will have to give me one more quarter to confirm those plans.
Got it. That's clear. Second, you earlier mentioned that we had seen a healthy volume growth but couldn't completely offset the drop in realization for it to reflect in revenue. Can you give us more flavor in terms of what is the kind of volume growth we have seen? That's number one. And number two, can you also help us understand what is the contribution of health within the new product? We said that 25% of the revenue is new product. But can you help us understand where are we?
Yeah, I'll give you that. So let me answer the second question first. So out of in that 25%, these are the new products apart from health are TBHQ and DCC. So these were smaller in contribution because these plants, at least the TBHQ plant just started about a year ago. So all those qualifications with the needed customers was complete, and now we see volumes pick up. And same has happened with DCC, where we were competing with the Chinese, where we had some process improvement further, which has made us further more competitive and emerge or enlarge our market share within India and Europe and a little bit into Japan.
Got it. And where are we in TBQ?
TBQ, boss, we are still stuck. I think we will still need some more time. But the efforts are still going on, and we hope that in the next few weeks we should have some decent outcome out of it. But we are working on it for sure.
Got it. And health? Have we started booking revenues in the health as well?
Yeah, we have started booking revenue. We have done about, I think we are monthly about 40-50 tons per month we are selling. And in fact, we are very pleased that today we've got our first European container load order. So we'll be the first Indian company to export this product to the European territory. And gradually we are seeing export market also showing some interest, and Indian markets will keep continue to grow for us.
Got it. And this will be what, 701 exports
so
market or is it 770 only?
So of course both, but 770 is majorly what I'm discussing, because that's a bigger market compared to 701. 701, we're happy to inform that we've got our first order from China, and of course, and also from Taiwan.
Got it.
So the validation time, which took about a year, 6 to 8 months time, because this is a very specific application, is now completed with large buyers. And now these are trial orders and now commercial and getting into bigger commercial orders.
Fair enough. And last question from my side is on the China situation. I think for us to completely revive, I think China has to come back. We have a 64% revenue decline there. How are we reading? What are our buyers telling us in terms of Chinese situation? Do you think it will drag remain for another couple of quarter, or you think it will take slightly longer than that?
See, it will take up for definitely will take at least two more quarters, including quarter three, and maybe a little bit of quarter four, or maybe totally quarter four. But now we are gradually seeing demand slightly picking up. But of course, China is also interdependent on Europe like we are, because eventually their end products are also supplied to Europe and the Americas. So since Europe is absolutely down and US also is not at the best, hence we are seeing lower demand across all the segment globally.
You don't see yourself getting replaced by any local vendor in China? That risk is completely ruled out, right?
Not at the moment, boss. To the best of my understanding, not at the moment, there isn't any competition in China for this product.
Got it. That's it from my side, Siddharth. Thanks for answering all those questions patiently and best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you so much, Sanjay.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hussain from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, boss.
Yes, I just wanted to understand that 300 crore capex that we have done in the Clean Finochem subsidiary. So what will be the asset turns there, and how fast we'll be able to ramp up that part?
See, the asset turn should be between 2.5-2.8, and the entire CapEx to come to 80% capacity utilization will easily take between 2 to 3 years.
We can't reach it to 100%?
Sorry?
Yes, sir. So this capacity cannot reach, the max utilization will be at 80%, or we can reach to 100%?
No. Typically, in chemical plants, 80-85% is a very good capacity utilization. See, there are boiler breakdowns, there are, equipment breakdown, there are maintenance breakdown. So typically, 80-85% is a good norm.
Correct. And sir, this glycol issue that is there globally, so how long do you see this pain to continue, and when we see the demand reviving, coming back? Any understanding on that front?
We are also regularly, looking at the market, and we still believe it'll take at least another quarter or so for this, I mean, the problems which had happened with the cough syrup manufacturers within, I mean, from India. I think it'll at least take a quarter more for all of them to, to clear off their names and the demand to again come back to India.
Okay, got it. And so lastly, on this agrochemical intermediate that you said we are investing approx 200 crores in this new agrochemical intermediate. So any specific products that are there, will it be margin accretive? Some color on that, if you can share with us, how it will be in times to come?
Even Sanjesh asked the same question. The answer was, it is not 200, it is 30 crore.
Okay.
It is a pharma intermediate. The revenue expected is about 100 crore, and major market is Indian market. So
Okay.
out of 200, 30 crore is this, 170 crore, the products are still to be announced to the market.
Okay, got it. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, thanks for taking my question. And my question is in terms of, sir, what's happened is our volumes have basically ticked off or had a steep fall from the past year. And what I believe is our product goes into the critical application is super absorbent polymers, which have various applications. So I expect that demand should be, sort of stable in nature. But of course, there's a steep demand fall. Now, I can see that, China has markedly slowed down. There is a steep increase in interest rates all over the world as well, which is having an impact. But could you give us some more color, as you've spoken about in the presentation, that two-thirds is basically a volume drop. So what is the exact reason for this such a sharp fall in volumes? More color on that. Just I wanted some more color on
The point is
Yes.
that there is also a terminology called as destocking.
Right.
Similar in pharma industry, if you see the revenues or volumes have dropped, it is not that people have stopped taking medicine.
Yes.
But the deal is, people had overbooked capacity or overbooked product from us in the past, assuming there would be a product shortage or there would be logistics issue, which that's what I mentioned on my starting remark, that this destocking continued to happen during quarter two, and that is the reason why the offtake has been lower than, I mean, than it was in the past.
Okay.
Hello?
Sure, sir. Sure. Yeah, sure. Sure. Thanks for that. And so just wanted to just a clarification. This Clean Fino Chem, basically this whatever CapEx you're putting into Clean Fino Chem, is that particularly going to be only for HALS?
No, sir. Basically, Clean Fino, it's a very large facility. I mean,
Right.
the land is about 35 odd acres. There will be at least five or six more facilities like HALS to come in there. HALS is just one part of the entire block, but because it is a greenfield project, we have to invest in admin block, in warehouse, in ETP, in utility blocks, in solvent storage. So
Right.
the entire thing is building up. But like if you see the new facility, which the new pharma intermediate which we are starting, the only production block cost is only about 30 odd crores, which will give us the revenue of 100 crore. because all the other ancillaries are made with the HALS. I hope I am able to explain you.
Yeah, sure, sir. So HALS is only a part of it. You are, of course, going to do more capacity expansion in that large piece of land. Basically, that's what you said.
Absolutely. So there will be a lot more products coming into that facility.
Right. Sure. And so lastly, just wanted to know if you can share GoQual, sir, how much percentage of revenue does it contribute to?
Individual product contribution, we don't
share. We don't share individual product contribution, boss. Sorry.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot. Those were my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Siddharth. Thanks for the opportunity. First, on the the sales part. Now, Q on Q basis, you did mention that there is a volume recovery. Just curious, from a volume decline, what we saw in the last quarter, how has been the improvement, and any specific business segment wherein the improvement is more or less out of the three segments?
So in quarter, this is expectation, right, of quarter three. So we feel pharma should be good enough, but other we are still trying to understand because it is, plus it's a November and December months, which are typically slow because everybody is on the mode of reducing stock across the world. So November and typically slower months for us. I think the best judgment we will be able to give you on the next con call, where we'll have Q4 picture more clear to us.
Sure. My question actually was more specific to this quarter. So 4% Q1Q decline, right? Wherein you said volumes have grown. So obviously there is a decline in realization here. But from a volume decline perspective, the volume that we were doing in the last quarter versus this quarter, is there any specific segment which is driving, or it is pretty broad-based?
No. So FMCG segment boosted. We saw volume growth. And DCC and TBHQ also, as you mentioned, we have witnessed a volume growth. So volume-led increase in sales during this quarter was 8 crore. Realizations impacted by negative 15 crore, and that's how we see a negative 7 crore quarter-on-quarter decline.
Sure. That's helpful. Secondly, on our gross margins, now on a year-on-year basis or Q1Q basis, there have been a pretty decent improvement. And this is when, 25% of the revenues are coming from the non-core part, right? The new products, the non-flagship products have contributing. So will it be fair to say that whenever the demand bounces back sharply, the margin jump could be even higher? Or are there efficiencies that we have derived in the non-flagship product wherein the margin accretion of these products is also strong now?
No, it is decent enough, but I think it will be wise to consider these margins only for these non-core products.
Okay, fair enough. On the HALS pricing, you did mention that, and congrats for the new orders from China, Taiwan, as well as 770, getting good traction. How are we pricing these products vis-a-vis, I'm presuming BSF will be the largest, competition here. So how are we pricing our products vis-a-vis BASF?
See, BASF is one of the suppliers. Today, the prominent pricing level guys are the Chinese. So today, we have to mark our products at par with the Chinese prices. And we have no choice but to mark closer to them to grow our market share, even slightly lower to Chinese to get more market share within India.
Correct, which is fair. And from an operating performance perspective, I know it is still early days, but going ahead, we should expect process-led efficiencies and the pricing being the same, or maybe the product mix itself will change and contribute better on the margins front.
Both. I think one, even like I mentioned during my talk also, that China has cut prices across all products and all segments, which might improve in the future, which I am not very sure about whether it will happen in Q3 or Q4, but that should happen. So once these prices, once Chinese start raising their price, we will be able to also raise our prices, number one. And number two, starting January, when we will have the other range coming in, that will give our customers more, they will be able to buy more products from us and that will help us to reduce our fixed cost by adding more production, I mean selling more volumes from our facilities.
Fair enough. Operating efficiency is basically great. Just last bookkeeping question on the working capital bit. The inventory days have shot up a bit. Any specific thing to read over there?
No, because actually inventory value-wise it remains same, closer to the March number. Right. I mean, because you're calculating it either on the COGS or on the raw material purchase, that is why optically the number of days looks higher. But if you look value-wise, it's almost in line with the March number.
So volume-wise, the numbers would be higher because, you know, the raw material prices have come down as well. So
Yes. So it's essentially the WIP stock, which has gone up.
Okay. Because of the dispatches that we have been doing now.
Yeah.
That explains. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you so much for taking my questions. Just with regard to the outlook for the second half of FY24, you know, given that it's likely to take another couple of quarters almost for demand to come back, so, you know, should we sort of expect that, volumes gradually pick up from the levels of 2Q over the next two quarters, or should we, you know, continue to work with these volumes and pricing also remains around these levels? You know, how would you sort of, you know, expect things to shape up in the next two quarters?
No, boss, no forward-looking statement. We'll see as it comes because we are also, trying to understand where the markets and where the world is leading to.
Okay, fair enough. Then just on the 2Q results, I'm sorry, I wasn't exactly able to understand the reason for the increase in power cost on an absolute basis. I guess you were mentioning maybe that in percentage terms it's gone up for, you know, some reason, but why the absolute increase quarter on quarter? And also if you could please just share the breakdown of volume versus price on a year-on-year basis for 2Q, if that's possible.
Sure. So first on power and fuel cost, actually the production has increased for the key products by over 25%. However, that production increase is not reflecting in sales because the inventory has also gone up, and also for the sales, the realization has come down. Okay, but with the increase in production, the power and fuel cost has shot up, and as a percentage of sales, because sales is sales number is lower, so as a percentage of sales, it looks even little higher.
Okay. So this also explains the increase in inventory in that case. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And also, yeah, the volume versus price breakdown for the quarter, year-on-year.
Year-on-year?
Yes, please.
Year-on-year, quarter-on-quarter?
Year-on-year.
So of 27% decline, primarily it is led by, almost 50-50 volume
and price.
Volume and realization led.
Got it. Thank you. And just one last thing from my side. I believe the agro pharma project that we had announced a couple of quarters back, right, that for which we have just done the Bhumi Pujan. If I'm not mistaken, the original schedule was maybe to, you know, start construction around July, August, and then commission the plants around 2Q of FY25. So are we still on track for that commissioning timeline, or is it going to take a little bit longer than that?
You are absolutely right. We had announced a little earlier, but I think we got delayed because of these market situation and we were evaluating ourselves. But with Bhumi Pujan happening on 20th of October, you can calculate about 9 months from today, the plant should be up and running.
Okay, and then the same time frame for the subsequent products as well, as and when we announced them?
No, we have not announced them. We are still under evaluating, but hopefully we shall start announcing as and when we move forward with those.
Right, but it will again take 9 to 12 months, is it, to commission those as well?
Typically, a block for us takes about 9 months.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Avandis Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Siddharth, my first question is on this destocking phase that we are talking about. In last 15 years, you would have seen this kind of a situation a couple of times. So from that experience, can you help us understanding this destocking to, say, restocking? What is the typical timeline, in terms of, say, months or weeks, you have seen in the past?
So typically, to my understanding, it should be anywhere between 2 to 3 quarters. See, this time it is also more. There have been two reasons. One, people have really overstocked because of COVID, and assuming there will be logistics issues and all that. And the second big problem happened was the demand collapse when the world opened up. So it has been a two-sided sword. So we expect it should be anywhere between 2 to 3 quarters of this destocking, depending on region to region, company to company, and product to product.
Okay. When you say demand collapse, that you are seeing across all your, say, top three products, or it is more specific to more like a glycol situation, or where, you know, there is an uncertainty whether it will come back, or it is more like a temporary setback?
See, it was more predominantly in the performance segment. It was more predominant in performance chemical segment, but fortunately, unfortunately, that accounts for the major portion of our revenues, which is about 65%-67%. We did not see so much destocking issue in pharma, intermediates, or in FMCG segment.
Okay. Because our understanding is, if you see MEHQ, which majorly goes into super absorbent polymers, though there will not be any growth, it is more or less kind of a very resilient end consumer demand will be there. So is it really a demand setback in terms of, is it a demand setback or there is a market share loss? That's a key question there.
See, if it was a market share loss, you would have known for sure. But I think maybe a little bit plus minus 3-5%, I am not able to gauge to that extent. But what had happened is because performance chemical becomes the lowest in the priority of a purchase manager, but it is one of the most important item. So he doesn't want to stop his production or miss his production because of lack of performance chemical. So I feel there is more stocking of these performance chemical because these are the tiniest item in the purchase list. You know? So when destocking happened, these items were far more in their warehouse than the major key raw materials, is my anticipation of this entire situation. Hence, we saw more problems in performance chemical rather than pharma intermediates or agro, in pharma agro or the FMCG segment.
Right. Understood. And looking at the October numbers in terms of monthly volume, how far you are from, say, typically that you will see this kind of, you will see the volumes in this October, November, December quarter, how far we are from the, say, steady state numbers in terms of volume?
I think that I'll be able to tell you in our February call.
Okay. My second question is on your commentary on the non-core products like ABHQ and DCC. We have seen fairly volatility in the demand of these products, or there is, I would say, some kind of a seasonality is there. So this, what you are seeing in this last quarter, it is more sustainable or still will be seeing some ups and downs on this?
No, these are not cyclical products because TBHQ is used as a stabilizer in edible oil business. And DCC is a pharma intermediate for valacyclovir, which goes into ARVs. It's a pharma product. So these are typically decent volume, I mean steady condition product, I mean steady supply products. These are not cyclical at all.
So that means what we are seeing, the demand uptick that we are seeing this quarter, that I think what you are saying is sustainable.
I mean, you can take plus minus 20%, but these are not cyclical for sure.
Right. Okay, understood. And if TBHQ is going to be your major product, I mean, can become potentially the major project, major product, your dependence on HQ will also go up?
Yeah, we have dependence on HQ, and all products we manufacture are important products for us. I mean, we will never manufacture a product which is not important to us, right?
Right. But do you have any process which can take care of the HQ production in case this becomes big?
So today, HQ is quite abundantly abundantly available from India, China, Japan, United States, Europe. So today we have no issues in procuring these raw material, and the prices which we are able to get these are also quite competitive compared to our competitors.
Okay, understood. And finally on Hans, you spoke about the export markets. Can you give a little bit more color on where we are in terms of building relationship with the, say, end customer and distributor? What are the key pushbacks that you are getting, and how we are going to make roads in these markets?
We are actually in a dating phase with our customer. They are evaluating us, we are evaluating them. You know, we are trying to show them what best we can do for them. They are not willing to totally believe us. They want to evaluate us more. You know, it's all dating thing happening. And I think it will take few quarters for the marriage to happen.
And this is typically a direct relationship with the customer, no distributor involved in these products or how it
both,
is?
Both. Because, say for instance, in India, we have direct relationship with large customers. We also have distributor models because a lot of small customers prefer to get the product in a day's time. Same is in the case with Europe. We have distributor model, and also we are speaking to some large customers if they can, if we can. Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Something got stuck, ma'am.
Sir, we are able to hear you. Please proceed.
Yeah, that was my answer, boss.
Oh, all right. All right, sir. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a decent set. Am I audible, sir?
Absolutely.
Right, sir. So my question is firstly on the TBHQ health side. What I want to understand is you said that about 25% of the business this quarter is basically from the new products, right? Which sounds quite interesting. If you could quantify that going forward for the next 3 or 4 quarters per se, how much you expect for them to contribute to your top line in terms of absolute terms and percentage of revenue terms?
See, I think it is... See, this is the first quarter when we have non-flagship products have 75% and we have grown our new products to 25%. Of course, since we are not raising capacities of our flagship product at the moment, so all the growth which will keep coming would be from the newer product. So subsequently, in each quarter, you will start seeing that our flagship product percentage to revenue will start coming down and these newer products will start contributing more and more.
Now, right. Just
to give you exact quarter and exact absolute number, but typically if you see, if we are able to start our HALS with an investment about 200 or 250 odd crore to begin the plant in January, and so let us assume we will have that sales coming up. So when these sales numbers start coming up, my flagship product numbers in comparison will start, I mean, the percentage will keep, of flagship will keep reducing and non-flagship product will start increasing.
Correct, sir. I understand. That makes a lot of sense. Just a short follow-up on that. So you expect this trend to continue even after your glycol capacities come back to more utilization, right?
Yeah. I mean, glycol is a one-off case, but we don't expect that will change the entire scenario, and glycol is still being produced because it is a co-product for us.
Correct. Right, sir. Also, sir, just one last question on the CAPEX side. You said that you've done another 150 crores this quarter and we have about 250 crores on the balance sheet, right? What are our CAPEX plans for, let's say, the next 3 fiscals?
So there will be more projects which are coming up. We have anticipated or we have earmarked additional about 170, 180 odd crores, which will be done, which we will announce probably in the next 1 to 2 quarters for the products which we will start with that investment.
Correct. And so that will all be financed by internal accruals, correct?
Absolutely. And everything will be happening through our internal accruals. We are sitting on cash of 250 odd crore. So,
right.
So the new capex will also happen through our internal accruals.
Correct, correct. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Siddharthji. Thank you for taking my question. Just one from my side. I think you mentioned that your health sales have reached 40-50 tons per month. So just wanted to understand what's your internal target, let's say, by end FY24 and start of FY25?
200 tons per month. That is one product. That is my target. I don't know how much I will be able to achieve by end of 25, right? So you are talking about, say, probably March 25. Our target is to sell this per month. And new products of this series should also start selling. So we have a big target in front of us.
Okay, perfect. That was helpful. Thank you for answering my question and wish you a very happy Diwali in advance.
Wish you the same, boss. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So in your opening remarks, you mentioned that there has been a pricing pressure across most of the products. So have we seen those prices coming down to the pre-COVID levels? And what is your sense in terms of whether these prices will stabilize at these levels? You mentioned that once China come back to normalcy, probably the pricing will move. But in the intervening period, what is your sense in terms of how the pricing will behave? Thank you.
See, to my sense and to my best of my understanding, the prices which we were offering in quarter two were one of the lowest prices we have seen over the last several years. So I do not see further discounting of price unless something new comes up and the commodity prices further or the crude oil prices drops further and you know the demand is an issue, then the prices might have to further lower. But to my understanding, the prices should not lower beyond this point, is my sense of this business.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So thank you so much for all, for your time and to understand the performance of our company, Clean Science and Technology. Again, wishing all of you in advance a very happy Diwali and a very happy and safe and healthy Diwali. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Clean Science and Technology Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.